Thank you for tuning in to the launch and the very first episode of the Cousins and BS podcast. I am Cousin Smishy V, and joining me tonight is the rest of the Cousin Gang, here to give you that raw, honest, and relatable conversation. Cousin Red, Cousin Lele, and Cousin Cash. What's up, fam? On tonight's episode, the cousins will be sharing their Coming to America stories, as well as calling bullshit or not on whether they think America is really the promised land as most immigrants believe it to be. Stay tuned. We'll soon come back. And we are back. So tonight's episode is called Coming to America. And you know, we thought about several juicy topics that would make for a good episode, but decided that sharing our Coming to America stories would be a great first episode and the opportunity to really introduce ourselves to you all on this platform. So, you know, thinking back after many years of trekking across states to go to family gatherings, which always seemed to shape up to be cousins hanging out, having a good time, drinking a few drinks, and, you know, what people back home in the Caribbean would say, chat shit. We often hear, you know, this notion from various people that y'all should start a podcast, or, you know, this is some really good advice, like other people should be hearing this. And of course, Red, y'all better be paying me for this. So we have decided to take it global. So this is us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we hope that you will absolutely enjoy this space that we have created for you all. Enough said, let's jump right in. So cousins, what wanna say? Is America really and truly the promised land? Kashima, what do you say?
I say bullshit.
How do you feel about that, Red?
I say to an extent, yes.
You say to an extent, yes, it is the promised land?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there. And so you tell us your Coming to America story and why you think that America is the promised land.
I didn't say I think it's the promised land. I said to an extent.
Okay,
thanks. What's that extent?
The extent, well, we have to see when we get to the backside of the story.
Okay, so go. Just share your story then.
So, my journey to America, it's a unique one, in the sense of my father left Jamaica when I was 2 months old. And ever since I was born, I heard that I would be going to America. So my whole life, I was excited. And the thing I remember the most about going to America is all the trips to the embassy, the Atone.
Okay.
And that up and down right there was not exciting at all. Okay? Let me tell you about it.
Okay.
Especially driving all the way from country. So, now we are talking simpler time. We have to take at least 3 buses.
Right.
So, that part of the experience kind of made me a little saddened by the, I thought you just get up and go to America.
Right. Well, how old are you at this point? Like, when you started looking about coming to America?
I think I was around 7 years old.
Okay.
At this point, between getting a passport and all the paperwork, and I don't know how you get a 7-year-old criminal background, but all that stuff.
Ridiculous, right? So you had to get a police record.
Yes.
Okay.
So after obtaining all that, I finally set out on my journey when I was 10. I can't forget it. You get to the airport, it's very exciting. You hear the plane,
mm-hmm.
You see so much people. It's like being in a different surrounding. And back in my days, we used to fly from Mumbai Airport. It used to be something called the Waving Gallery.
Oh, yeah. It's the iconic Jamaican history of coming to America, that waving gallery.
That no longer
exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing was, my mom was very nervous to fly, so she had a window seat, but she switched with me.
Okay.
Which I was excited. I was excited to fly.
Okay.
And this is in the days of having our own airline here in Jamaica.
Ooh.
So
yeah.
You know, and here in Jamaica, I always did this thing. When you go to America, they serve you American food. When you go to Jamaica, they serve you Jamaican food.
Okay.
So that was something quite unique that I kind of, you know, gave you a little taste. But I can't forget it. The plane ride was packed with a bunch of first-time Jamaican people and old people. And that feeling and sensation of taking off for the first time, you know. If you've never been on a roller coaster, you won't know what it's like.
It's like your heart is in the Jamaican people would say your heart in your mouth.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or when you get your first yell.
Okay, I don't quite get that analogy. What, you're so excited or you're so nervous?
I mixed all them together.
Okay.
So I remember that, and then, you know, probably halfway through the flight, it was very uneventful, and boy, we had a piece of turbulence, and this one Jamaican old lady said, "Oh, help me, Jesus, holy up, God, not make it jump." And everybody, my mom was squeezing my hand, and she's freaking out because she thinks the plane's going to... I remember she said, "I see some Princess Diana, didn't I?"
I said, "What?" That is far from the truth. I thought Princess Diana died in a car crash.
Well, she did, but that's my mom. So, you know, and we made it here, and after making it here, the next hardest thing was being separated from my mother, someone I spent practically my whole life with.
Right.
To go live with my father, who I've met a handful in my lifetime, but you know,
yeah,
it was a long journey. It was a long journey, you know, making the way up the 95 to my new town. After getting there, I'm like, how you know where you live? Every house looked the same.
Right? Every house looked the same.
I was very puzzled.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how you know where you live? You know, when you're fresh to the system.
Right.
You really, there's a lot of things you don't know.
Yeah.
So that was my journey coming here. Mm-hmm. How about you share yours with us, Kish?
Oh, okay. So, la 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 la. So when I first came, I was about 8 years old. I don't really remember the plane ride much. But I do remember all the palm trees. That's the first thing I noticed when I came, how big and tall these trees are. And I was like, oh, wow. All these trees.
That's it, Kashima.
you caught me off guard.
Oh my God. Okay, so so you said you were 8 years old when you first came here. And what do you recall anything about the process or why you ended up here in the first place? Like for Akit, he was to be with his dad. But why did you move here, or why do you think your parents brought you here?
So, I don't really remember like the process, like going to the embassy and stuff like that. But so my dad lived here for ever, pretty much, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to live with my aunt and uncle in Jamaica.
Okay.
And I guess just to be with my dad, pretty much.
Right. So what was your, like, you know, first impression outside of the palm trees? Like, you know, were you excited? Do you remember feeling excited about coming to America because it's supposed to be, like, you know, a better way of life for you or a better place for you to grow up?
So I didn't really see it like that. I probably thought I was just going just to see my dad for a little bit. I didn't really
know it was going to be permanent.
Yeah, I just, okay, I'm going to my dad's or whatever. First thing, second thing I noticed, there's no pothole on the way home. Not one pothole. I was like, wow, a good road. Good road.
Oh my God.
The road was so, too smooth.
Okay.
But, yeah, I didn't really, like, I was 8, so I wasn't really thinking about,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm coming here for a better life. I was just thinking, oh, I'm here to see my dad.
Right.
But, well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess I have, like, I guess a more traditional coming to America story than you all, because I didn't move here when I was younger. Like, I traveled here back and forth when I was younger, but, like, moving here and living full-time for me, like, I was, like, 24, and I moved here for higher education to go to grad school. So, you know, like, it was, like, a totally different transition, and I didn't move to be with family. Like, I moved to a state where I was completely alone. I did not have any family or relatives, like any friends close by or anything. Like, I was in a brand new state, starting this new journey on my own. So like, for me, I didn't, like, you know, experience the things that you guys were saying, because I was already familiar with traveling back and forth to America. But actually starting to live here, like, after 2 months, it starts to set in and you start getting homesick and you're like, oh, this is where you're gonna be for a while, you know. So it's like the little things that you start missing about, like, being in Jamaica, and then, like, the freedom to do certain things or say certain things or, you know, act a certain way. Like, you now realize that you have to kind of, you know, do what the Romans do, like, you know, what your grandmother would say, when in Rome, you do as the Romans. So I think that was, like, the biggest transition for me, trying to just, like, you know, settle in, understand, like what Keith said initially, like, you don't understand the system. It's totally different trying to, like, find your place, find your niche. I don't have a lot of Caribbean friends or any Caribbean people, for that matter. Where I went was primarily just, you know, African-American folks and then Caucasian people. And so, like, my community that kind of gave me a sense of home was my African friends that I went to grad school with. So my people from Cameroon and Ghana, which are still, like, my very close, you know, lifelong friends on today. So that was like my coming to America, that just, like, transitioned into me, like, you know, becoming a citizen and now living here full time. But I wanted to, like, for us to talk about, like, the biggest culture shocks that we, I guess, experienced. And, like, I mean, Keith, you mentioned that in some way America is the promised land. Like, do you want to elaborate on that a little bit? Like, what aspect of America do you believe to be a promise or the promised land for, you know, immigrants who are here now?
I'm going to elaborate on that, but as far as you touched on something like a culture shock,
yeah,
I think what it was is the language barrier and the meaning.
Okay.
Is, I came here at the end of my 5th grade, and if anyone came from a different country, you know, America, think the educational system is the best.
I disagree.
I had 2 words left.
I call bullshit.
I call bullshit on that.
Yay, bullshit. So I had to repeat 5th grade, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And because I came here 2 months, and so I basically I repeated 5th grade. And when I was put in 5th grade, you know, at the time, you know, there was not a lot of, like immigrants where I'm at, you know? Mm-hmm. So they have a program for, like, Spanish kids or different language,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So my patois was so powerful, I end up in that group.
The good old St. Elizabeth patois.
Yeah, they said I talked too fast, and they could understand some things. So and yeah. I was just, you know, like, in a class, they said, maybe buy your rubber. And they're like, what?
Not condoms, people. Rubber you means know? Eraser, like your pencil eraser.
And so it was like little stuff like that, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're so accustomed to, like, you said T instead of there, the, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So, like, reading that, like, George Washington God, mm-hmm. he's like, what? What are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
What? You know, so it was that initially, and then it really, like, the best thing that came out of 5th grade is I met one of my best friends in 5th grade.
Mm-hmm.
We've been friends since 5th grade, and, you know, he helped me, you know, compose myself, mm-hmm. how to say things and try to understand what I was saying, and mm-hmm. you know, so that was one of the best thing that came out of 5th grade.
Okay.
And that was probably the biggest thing, you know, and just like going from, you know, you go get your box lunch,
mm-hmm.
or your canteen lunch,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you go see a higgler, and you get your teachers and suck.
Yeah, suck.
There was nothing. There's like.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
Pizza roll. Like, what is this?
Microwave pizza.
What is this?
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday sloppy Joe.
Oh, my God. Disgusting.
Let me tell you.
Ugh.
American food is, on a whole, is pretty much bad, but school food is near. I can only imagine it's probably as good as Jamaican prison food.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Me neither, but yeah, I like to imagine that if you're in prison, that's the only way you should get that kind of food. So.
On the next episode, we'll bring on one of our cousins that's been in the system to tell us about.
Cousin Jill, boy.
Yeah, the food was the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted. From 2nd grade is when I started school here. I had pizza one day for lunch when they were having, like, pizza day, and I threw it up. It was, oh, God, it was the worst thing ever. And I have never eaten school lunch since that first day. And all that's all through my high school, middle school, elementary school, because that food is disgusting. I don't know how they feed kids that.
Yeah. Did you experience issues in school when you started, Kashima? Because you did go to middle and elementary school here, right?
Yeah, like, my English was pretty okay. I didn't have any problems with, like, having to be in a speech class or anything,
right.
I caught on very well, and I don't think I talked that much also, so I didn't really realize that,
yeah,
oh, she doesn't speak English, but no, school was too easy. I did notice, like, wow, this stuff I already learned a long time ago.
Right. Yeah, because so, go ahead.
So yeah, it wasn't really any barriers there.
Like for me, one thing that, and Keith mentioned it earlier, is just, like, the pronunciation of words. And, like, for me, being in grad school, for me, it was, like, the spelling of words, like, in Jamaica, like, the color and the neighbor and the favorite that they don't use in you. And, like, for, you know, like, I went to primary prep, undergraduate high school in Jamaica, so my entire life I grew up spelling these words with that, you know, English, the Queen's English U. And like every time I would write a paper or submit an assignment, like I would always get like marked up for all of these things. And I had to like go to my professor one day and say, hey, like, you know, like this is like a learning curve for me to like consciously be aware, especially because like I had to install this app on my computer called Grammarly that would be set to the American English instead of like the United Kingdom English in order to correct me when I would like write my papers so that I wouldn't get like dinged for spelling the word correctly the way I know how to spell it. And like when I was in grad school, like I remember being a graduate research assistant and a substitute teacher. And like every time I would say question, everybody would look at me like, huh, what are you saying? And I'm like, ask me a question. And they're like, no, you're saying the word wrong. And I'm like, it's not question, like whatever you all are saying, it's question. So things like that for me just irritated my soul, because it almost felt like I was being rejected for being who I am. Like, I think...
Welcome to America.
Welcome to America. So, like when people talk about, you know, America being the promised land and this whole American dream, like, for me, like, I don't look at it like that, because anywhere you are in the world, like, if you don't work, and if you don't know, like, you know, when in Rome to do Rome, or there's a time and a place for everything, I don't think it's going to work for you. And like, for me, I've always looked at it like America is the promised land for people who promise to make the most of the opportunity that is presented to them. And not just to think that, oh, as me come off of the plane, I'm reach a foreign, so all of my problems over, money I got there on my foot, like I have made it, mama. Go out Western Union tomorrow. You know, like, so you, it is not
so you,
that.
So, Smith, you touched on something mm-hmm. that covered kind of my point.
Mm-hmm.
My point is the greatest thing about America is the opportunity it right. provides. What you do with that opportunity is up to you.
Right.
You can go from being a janitor to a doctor if you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can go from being a bum to a millionaire.
Mm-hmm. Not by buying the pig tree, though, right?
No.
Okay.
You know, you can get one catchy rap song, and you know, next thing you know, you've blown up. So
yep.
If there's certain opportunities that it presents, which mm-hmm. I can't speak on other country, but in my home country,
mm-hmm.
that olive branch wouldn't be there for you.
That's
you
true.
Know, there's not a lot of Jamaicans that can have a $10,000 credit card. Not saying they hand out a credit card to you, but
yeah,
you know, to build that opportunity to get it is there. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, the ease, the access, it's much access, easier. That, yeah,
that road, like Kirsten said, the American opportunity road, no patois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to do anything on.
Yeah.
You have to skip that site.
Yeah. If you're focused, you know, because a lot of people come here with like this great mindset and they're focused, and then some way along the road they just get caught up and they adapt this American mentality and lose touch with their roots. And then they just end up like, you know, in the system and down the wrong path where it's like, well, I bet I did just turn a Jamaican done. Like, really? Like, you're not making the most of what has been presented to you. It's almost like a waste of an opportunity that somebody else would have, you know, be grateful to have and would have made the most of it.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing when you come here. It's like, yeah, you expect it to be, oh, well, I'm going to start working this job. I'm going to make good money.
Mm-hmm.
But then you come to realize, like, no, it's not like that. Minimum yeah. wage is still, what, like $8? And it's just not that easy.
Yeah.
And then people start falling into their 9-to-5,
mm-hmm.
living paycheck to paycheck. And mm-hmm. it's like, you can't That's not really living.
Yeah.
You're alive, but you're living.
Definitely not living. And then, you know, it's like you said before, you notice like you're in this rhythm and you're like, how did I get here? Like, this is not the journey that I set out on. This is not what I expected, but you just got caught up in this whole system.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, if you try to reach down to Dragons about how the system is and what you have to do, they're going to look like you're crazy. You're only saying that because
you mean, have the opportunity. Yeah, and you don't want to share it. Exactly.
The bad mind.
Like, can't somebody please define bad mind in the term of the Jamaican people? Because it is crazy. The way how they use that word so loosely when you try to explain something and they don't understand it. It's like, no, man. A bad man, you're bad man.
Yeah, I mean, if you let out a country stamp visa, everybody like it by visa.
That is one of my favorites. Oh, that is.
I mean, it's sometimes when I'm home, I'm at the happiest in my life.
Yeah.
It's something about when you step off the plane and you're walking through that little thing and you see that little crack and you smell the breeze.
Mm-hmm.
It smells different. It feels different.
It feels and different.
I'm at happiest when I'm at home. And if you could give me the same opportunity, I would leave.
I say that every time and people look at me like, really? And I'm like, yes, like the moment I retire, like my goal is to retire in Jamaica. Like I want so badly to be home as soon as, like I'm not saying I would never travel back here, but as soon as I feel like, you know, I've had enough of this, which I already have because like my body still does not acclimate well to the cold weather here. And I'm just like, I'm ready to be home. Like, I remember saying to somebody one time that, like, I don't know what it is. And you know that saying, like, you'd have to be Jamaican to explain it or for somebody to understand. But, you know, I love a well-cold Heineken. No matter where I put the Heineken, how long I keep the Heineken in the freezer when it's here, there's something about a Heineken from a refrigerator in Jamaica. I might sound crazy. The taste is so different. The taste is so different. People think I'm crazy. I'm just like, Heineken in Jamaica is not the same as a Heineken here.
Are you going to tell them about the KFC?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The KFC. Well, I don't think I should speak on that because I am a vegetarian, but I'm going to say, when I have had KFC, we will save it for later.
A little bit. I have to, because so when I came to America, my dad's friend took me to a KFC, and I was excited. I'm like, because the line wasn't long. You know, when you go to KFC, you wait in hours.
Yes.
Hours. So I was like, okay, we go to the drive-thru, in, out. Mm-hmm. I get my food. I'm like, what the?
Yeah, I'm ready to dig in.
It tastes like school lunch. It tastes like school lunch, like American school lunch. Like, I was like, what are they putting in this? Because this is disgusting.
Yeah.
The mashed potatoes, oh gosh.
Oh. I will say this, I have never been to a KFC in America ever.
Don't recommend.
Ever. It is bullshit. Yeah, I've heard enough about it to know that that is one drive-through that I'm never getting into.
Yeah, and then they have the Long John Silvers on it. I think they still do at least, but I just don't recommend it. If you're coming from Jamaica and you expect some nice Zinga, which they don't have, or some nice barbecue chicken, go to a local Jamaican restaurant because you're not finding it at KFC.
You know, there are theories about what they say, why Jamaica is said to have the best KFC in the world. I think my favorite one is that the workers in KFC re-season the chicken before them cooking.
I could definitely believe that one.
I mean, dang my skillet.
But so what a season that when mommy love you's, oh my god.
Easy.
The Easy Spice, Maggie. Easy Spice, but whew. Guys, I'm gonna find it and put it in the description. That the chicken season there is the bomb. But yeah guys, so like for persons who are in the process, say that again. I think, did we lose him? So for persons who are in the process of migrating or are thinking about migrating to America in the future. Oh, I thought we lost you for a minute.
No, I'm here. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Okay. You want to go ahead and...
I didn't remember what I was saying. I think I was agreeing with you on that season.
Oh, that season. Okay. Yeah. Ooh. But yeah, I was trying to jump into or next segment where just like for people who are in the process of migrating here or thinking about, you know, possibly migrating to America in the future, like what are some like, you know, tidbits that we want to share with them or like go bys, like, you know, let me save you the trouble. Like you don't have to make those mistakes for yourself. Here are some advice that I have for you. Like I went through this. I think if I knew this in the past or before I moved here, that it would have helped me a lot.
I definitely have some advice for that one.
Okay.
I have some advice, but you know, there's some advice that you you can't give because based on the route,
yeah,
and the way the person is coming here. But certain things like, when you come to America, don't expect to be at somebody's house more than 2 months. That's the first one.
2 months is long.
But yeah, it's 2 months. You know, after 2 months, man, so the light didn't look tall. Water gone up.
Wi-Fi run out.
And I don't care if it's family or not.
It doesn't matter.
Like, don't do that. Mm-hmm.
Start planning on moving after 2 months. Line up 3 people so you get 6 months.
Yeah. Well, like, I never, like, when I moved here, I never moved here and lived with, like, anyone. But, like, I remember, like, growing up and then coming to spend, like, summer holidays. Like, I went through that same exact thing where you know that after a certain time, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Jamaicans are some of the friendliest people, hands down. But when they're ready to show you a bad face, oh my god, like it is not tolerable at all.
So that's my first piece of advice, because it didn't apply to me because I came and started living with my father.
Right.
So and you know,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, the next piece of advice would be try to learn to drive.
Oh yes. If you can.
Depends on what age.
Yeah.
It depends on what age you're getting coming.
Yep. You need to be mobile. Mm-hmm.
I think every Jamaican think like America is just like New York. It's snow everywhere.
No.
Train on bus everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think at least in my time the perception has shrunken because everybody has cable now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got Facebook and Instagram. So,
right.
You know, but usually, I remember the first time I went back to Jamaica from living in Florida. I mean, my uncle said, yeah, you see Big Apple yet? I said, nope. He said, it's gonna reach America.
Exactly. And you know, that's a good thing to point out, Akeem, because even with like the access that people have to information today, people still don't want to read, they don't want to research, they expect people to tell them everything. So yes, that information is out there, but some people really just don't know and still have that same mentality that everywhere is like New York City. And it's not. Like, especially where I live now in the suburbs, like, if you don't have access to a car, you're not getting anywhere. You have to drive.
We're planning on using the 2 feet.
Yep.
It's gonna take you a while.
And you could get fined for walking on the highway. You know that, right? Like, if you
Sure
walk
do.
on the freeway, it's illegal to walk on the freeway.
Sure do, but you know, it's we have Uber and Lyft now, so
True.
that is a lot. It's a lot has been changing because the way I see it is America is like my stepmom that I love, and Jamaica is like my mother I can't be with. You know,
Yeah.
I have spent physically more time in America than I spent in Jamaica, so you know, I love it, you know. But it's a stepmom. I can't love it more than my mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
So in that sense, you know, there's a lot, you know, when you're leaving and coming here to, you know, it all based on your age and, you know, the reason of coming here, you know. So there's a lot to spread, you know. We have little tidbits we can give you. But everybody's experience is going to be different.
That's true.
Most definitely.
You said something about Uber and Lyft just now, but that's also another advice. Like, without access to a credit card, there is no way that you can use Uber or Lyft because it's not like taxi where you can go pay with cash unless you take like a yellow cab, which sometimes they don't even want to take cash. So if you don't have access to a bank account or a credit card, then you can't even utilize those services.
So you have to tell Mr. No Man that they asked one already?
I haven't seen one.
One already, Trian Drive.
Yeah. Can we talk about her? Oh, that Jamaican taxi man light.
No, that's a
Yeah,
whole other
okay, well, you
episode.
know, one more man looking, one more coming in. You see that
I
carry-on?
already screaming people out of the box.
Listen,
What do you want that? What do
that's a whole other episode.
What in that? What do you want there, boss? Get there and got up on grill, but that's still come on.
listen. And even when the car is full, they're not driving off till somebody head is pushing out through the window.
You
Or
have to.
somebody on top of the car.
I don't think the car can operate without an extra head out the window.
I know. It's like essential. But gosh, you said that you had a few tidbits. You want to throw a few in there?
Yeah, so definitely recommend for the maybe 18 and older folks that are coming here when you're a little bit older is to invest. Like, you cannot get by here working a minimum wage 9 to 5. Not even just invest in like stocks and crypto and stuff like that. Invest in yourself, invest in your education. And I'm
Yeah.
not saying college because I have a whole other perspective on that,
Right.
but invest in just educating yourself
Yeah.
and not even invest in money, but invest in your time. There's every
Yeah.
single thing on YouTube. I swear,
Yeah.
there's everything on YouTube.
Right.
And then another advice I would have, maybe if I came here a little bit older and didn't know what I wanted to do, I wouldn't go to college because I personally think it's the biggest scam out there other than insurance. But I would tell someone to go to trade
Speaking of the
school.
church,
First of all, you could be rich from starting a church in America. Calm down now.
the biggest scam.
Yep. Shima?
So,
Oh, did.
yeah, definitely trade school for if you want to learn a skill and make real money, livable money, I would definitely recommend trade school. Because there's really, like, honestly, if you're coming here for school, college, or just to go to school, it is expensive. And if you don't have the funds, like, yeah, absolutely do it if you could get grants and scholarships and if it's paid for. But if you don't have the funds for it, get a loan for trade school. A lineman starts working as an apprentice at like $20 an hour. I don't know. Don't fact check me. But they start making good money just apprenticing. And Yeah, so definitely recommend trade school, investing in your education, mm-hmm. absolutely your health, because a big culture shock here is mm-hmm. GMOs. It's yeah. in everything.
Yep.
Like, in Jamaica, we have the chicken in the backyard that we raise ourselves, our vegetable, everything that we grow ourselves. Mm-hmm. But here, everything is processed, so mm-hmm. I definitely recommend investing in your health, your brain.
Yeah.
And don't get lazy. Exercise.
Yeah. Like, you have to, and that's a excellent point. Like, the transition of, like, you know, being accustomed to certain foods and eating a certain way, and then you come here and then you realize that everything is just, like, you know, ready made. It's processed food, it's the drive-through, is the fast food. And then when you come on vacation and you're doing that for 2 weeks or a month, it's fine. But when that is, like, your everyday lifestyle, before you know it, it's the diabetes, it's the obesity, and it's a whole other issue. So you really have to stay on top of your game with that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And one thing that I would advise people who are, you know, in the process of migrating or thinking about it in the future is just, like, read and find things out for yourself. Like, there is a whole wealth of information out there just about, like, everything from finances, from, you know, your credit score, like, school, like, just, there's so much information out there. Do not let anybody tell you anything and take it as that is gospel and that's how it is, because people are so misleading, and people will sabotage you. People will try to, you know, like, hold you back and want you to be dependent on them. And education is freedom. Like Kashima said, like, invest in that. Like, the information is out there. If you go out there and read it for yourself, navigate, you know, it could take you a longer time. But if you can just get that information, access to it, and try to process it and understand it in your own way, you can never go wrong, and nobody can block an opportunity from you. So I would just suggest that. Don't take what anyone say as the final go by. Go out there and try to gather that information for yourself.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
And not what everybody says is fact, because there's lots of opinion. Everybody's yeah. experience is different.
True. Yep. All right. Well, that's all we have for you guys tonight. So thank you so much for listening to our very first episode. And don't forget to share this with somebody. Like, subscribe. We are on Beaker. We are on Anchor. We're on Google Podcasts and so many, many more. And if you're listening to this episode on Thursday, July 1st, 2021, before 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is about 7 p.m. in the Caribbean, join us live on Instagram at CousinsNBS, that's CousinsNBS, for our official launch party, where we will be answering questions, having some more conversations about our Coming to America story, you know, just calling out some more bullshit and just having a good time. So you don't want to miss that. Just come hold a vibe with us, and yeah, love and respect always.